Pretty busy council session last night. Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies joins us. Good morning.
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, a lot of things to get to. Certainly the budget and the water increase. A couple of the big ones, Derek.
Lots of stuff happening last night. We had water rate increases to pay for our system, the budget. We talked about the changes to the non-owner occupied residential property registry and the vacant foreclosed abandoned property registry, some good government contractor pieces of legislation that we talked about last night. But I just, before we get into all that, I think one of the most consequential things that was on the agenda last night that was overlooked was we had on the consent calendar, a resolution in support of H.R. 1, the For the People Act.
Mm-hmm.
It's a federal policy, made its way already through the House of Representatives, although our sitting congressman, Tim Walberg, voted against it. But I think most people know our democracy is broken and public faith is a all-time low in U.S. elections. And anyone looking back to the last election probably realized that that's just exacerbating. The For the People Act, and people probably heard about it. They should definitely take more of a look as it works its way through the Senate and comes up for a vote and potentially passage into law. But it puts a lot of those common sense reforms into action to make our democracy better, enact safer, more reliable voting standards, get some of the dark money out of elections, and I think restore some ethics and accountability into government. And in fact, a lot of the democracy reform proposals that people put into place here in Michigan, proposal two, the redistricting reforms of 2018, and then proposal three, some of the election related reforms around making it easier to vote, absentee voting, no reason absentee voting, all that sort of stuff. Those sorts of good government, good democracy reforms would become the law of the land. And I think it'll make restore some of that faith in our democracy, and especially coming out of the last election. And hopefully as it works its way through the Senate, we can have Peters and our senators, Peters and Stabenow, get behind it.
So how did the council arrive at the 12% water rate increase, I guess?
Lots and lots of studying. We had, as you probably remember, we had just general estimates from this kind of unfunded mandate coming from state government, talking about government, coming from state government and their the changes that they made to the lead and copper rule, having local municipalities like Jackson have to replace all of their lead service lines over the next two decades, I think is a huge burden. It's a huge unfunded burden on municipalities like Jackson and for kind of these urban cores across the state. We put together some preliminary figures with the last city manager that showed that rates could go up anywhere as high as 116%. However, since then, we've done a couple of things. One, we've been able to reduce that number by doing some studies and actually doing some testing of what the replacement of those lead service lines would cost in real time, with actually replacing some of those lines ourselves, bringing all of that work in-house with staff that we have here at the City Hall to actually do that work to cut some costs. And then, you know, we've also just been working on fine-tuning those numbers and using some of the resources that we have. We just approved some grants to this effect, but using some of the other loans and grants and applications from state and federal resources to be able to take chunks of that cost off of the back of the water utility. And I think that that's kind of where we arrived at that low number. It probably would have been a little bit lower had consumers not drilled its own well, but you know, they have to do what they got to do for their own consumers. And I don't begrudge them for that. It's definitely a hit. It accounts for a significant portion of that 12%. But the good news is that leaders back in the day built the both our storm our wastewater treatment and water treatment plants to be regional utilities. So I think there's an opportunity there for us to continue to expand, bring more customers into the fold, expand to other municipalities to serve them good clean water and treat that water as well, and reduce costs for everybody by getting more customers into the system.
Are there government bodies interested in that at the moment?
Yeah, well, you probably have been aware of some of the debacles with some of the other
yes.
water systems in yeah, I won't name all the municipalities that have gotten kind of in the debacle with the county, and I'm not even sure where the lawsuits and stuff is with that. But you know, I think that there are some communities in the eastern portion of the county that would be well served to come into the city. You know, we already provide water and sewer services to wastewater treatment services to parts of Leoni, parts of Summit, parts of Blackman, to the prison. So, you know, we're already doing this. It would be nothing novel, but it would be an opportunity for us to expand, attract new clients, and reduce costs to customers across the entire system.
So the 4% sewer rate increase, that's kind of a standard operating procedure?
Kind of a standard. You know, as costs go up, that helps us to keep up with inflation, but also to be able to continue to make investments in the wastewater treatment plant and operations as well. So, you know, I'm sure people know that costs continue to go up. They also go up for municipalities as well. And for us to be able to provide quality service with quality wastewater services, quality water services. I mean, you think about, we kind of talked about this at Councilman Forgrave's neighborhood meeting, but you got to think, you go to the store and you buy, you know, a gallon of water for maybe a buck, under a buck, depending on what the brand is. The city of Jackson is able to clean, ship to your faucet and make it available for you when you turn it on, potable water for 0.4 cents. So it's a pretty, just because of the scale that we have, you know, it's a pretty incredible process and pretty incredible product to produce.
So we're running efficiently.
I think we're running efficiently, and to boot, we have award-winning water. We've won regional water awards in the state, and I think that stands as a testament to the staff that we have in place and the time and attention to detail that we put into the work that we do. And I think that that's where these rates are coming from, to be able to continue to provide that quality product, you know, clean potable water, and the quality service, and continue to maintain the system and hopefully expand it into the future.
Speaking of Mr. Forgrave, I don't believe there was any votes on chickens last night.
There's no votes on chickens. There's no votes on bees, no votes on mini pigs, but I think it's coming up. I think that there's support for it. The urban farming ordinance is one of the ordinances I worked on with previous council person, Colleen Sullivan. And I think that there's, you know, there's support for it. I think that the planning commission discharged it out of planning commission at their last meeting. It's in the hands of the city attorney. I wouldn't be surprised if it shows up at the next city council meeting. But, mm-hmm. you know, I think it would allow, with some reasonable regulations, for people to keep up to three hens in their backyard. You know, for those that want to have their own eggs, it would allow for those that want to maybe have a hive in their backyard for some urban beekeeping purposes, make their own honey, help pollinate the local flowers. And it would also allow for mini pigs. I say it's one of the things that someone came and asked me about, you know, keeping mini pigs that are smaller than probably a heck of a lot of the dogs that I see in town. And I didn't have any reason why we wouldn't allow it. So, you know, it's just one more of those regulations that we can kind of crack open up and accommodate for people in Jackson. So,
okay. The neighborhood association ordinance was voted down. What were the sticking points, Derek?
You know, I don't think that there were any sticking points that I could see within the actual ordinance. And I think it narrowly failed 4-3.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be bringing it back up and working with the city manager to kind of take a look at it and see what we can do to continue to encourage the development and growth of our neighborhoods in particular, because there's a couple of loosely defined neighborhoods, but you go to other cities and they kind of have more clearly defined neighborhoods. And when people move into town, they can associate with those, can kind of join those groups and meet their neighbors and kind of know, what some of the projects that are going on in those areas are. And that was really the intent of the ordinance, working to use some of the information that we have at City Hall that's generally administrative to get that into the hands of people that are willing to organize their local areas. And frankly, there was a lot of support for it. I was surprised that it didn't pass. I had a number of different individuals and organizations, Diane Washington at YPOP, Patrick Gruba and others that have been organizing their neighborhoods in the 6th Ward. So, you know, I think that I oftentimes policy just gets caught up in misunderstanding and people not really understanding what the intent of it is, or kind of politicizing it for whatever reason. And I think, unfortunately, that's what happened with the neighborhood association ordinance. You know, it was a good policy. It would have only affected those that wanted to go through the process of you know, creating a chartered neighborhood, and it wouldn't allow them to impose any new fees or regulations in that area. Mm. But in doing so, would allow them to say, hey, look, city, you know, I want to know what's going on in this area that I've defined this neighborhood. I want to know what's going on in terms of city developments or redevelopments, in terms of new site plans coming in, so that I can stay better informed, and, you know, that the city can help me get access to the information that's affecting my neighborhood and my property, and ultimately, you know, my property value here.
Talk a little bit about the upgrades at the police department.
Yeah, so we're coming through. We approved a contract last night with Integrity Interiors for some of the upgrades on the front of the police department. You know, just desperately needed. I can't remember the figure off the top of my head this morning, but, you know, they're going to be coming through and doing some upgrades on the front end of the police department. Hopefully we'll make it more friendly to residents and businesses coming in to the front desk there. You know, I think you've seen the city start to invest in a lot of our different pieces of infrastructure across the city, the King Center, the Booz Center with a new roof on there, and we're going forward with architectural drawings there. And the police station is just one more asset that we have that's long overdue for some upgrades. And I would say beyond that as well, the fire department is well due for some upgrades. So, as we continue forward in this year and into, as I become a private citizen and I'll be an advocate for now knowing kind of what the condition of the city and some of these facilities is, then I'll continue to be an advocate for those two different departments and some of the necessary upgrades that they need to continue to do their jobs effectively.
So you approved a new budget 21-22, but do we have a pretty good handle on what the tax revenue will work out to be here?
Yeah, so the actual, with all of the four different millages that we have coming into the city, the Act 345 is actually going to go up a little bit over the next couple of decades. That's actually going to plummet down pretty low, probably by over a half. So that's just because council has made some good decisions to pay down some of that long-term liability and better stabilize that pension fund. And that's one of the things that I prioritize. I think it's good fiscal stewardship, fiscal responsibility to be able to do that, and also pay the pay on the pensions that were promised to those first responders. Mm-hmm. As they retire. The overall millage, when you combine our general operating public improvement Act 345 and our city hall debt, is actually going to come down just a hair. I think that's good. I think our city income tax is going to be thankfully stabilized by the American Rescue Plan, which is going to be able to reimburse some of the revenue that we lost in income tax revenue to because of COVID. So I think that puts us in a much better position than we would have been, stabilizes our finances.
Sure.
And really allows us to get back on track with some of the things that we were doing of bringing back some of our officers onto the force, some of the cadets, bringing back recruits and getting them directly into the academy. So, and increasing our firefighter overall staff. So I think thankfully I'll say that the Democrats in Congress were able to pass the American Rescue Plan because that's who voted for it. President Biden was able to sign it, and now we have these resources here locally to be able to stabilize our city finances, make sure that we're investing where we need to in terms of some of our long-term projects that have been significantly underfunded by the cuts that were made over decades to revenue sharing by the state legislature, and really get us back on track so we can start building back better.
Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies. You didn't hear from Dana yet, did you?
I you know what? I will talk to her today because she is actually coming down into Jackson, and I believe that she's going to be doing some sort of Zoom event today here in Jackson, and was looking for a space, and she's going to do it right in my office, I believe. So we'll.
Oh wow!
I'll give her. I'll tell her you said hi.
Thanks, Derek.
Thanks, Greg. Have a good one.
Take care. Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies. You're on 970 and 101.5.